many times that I don't know what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you.
Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. Father, I pray so much, Lord, that your Spirit would be so real to each and every one of us. Lord, that you would minister this morning like you never have before, Lord, that you would minister to each and every heart here, that there'd be a realization in some lives, there'd be conviction in others. Lord, of knowing we need to follow you wholeheartedly. We need to be seeking to hear from you each and every day. Father, may you speak now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we're going to begin in Matthew 21. This is Palm Sunday, and so we're going to read an account of what took place. But the title of the message today is Don't Follow the Crowd. And as I think about this, I always think about that credit card commercial, and it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's like people in just rows and lines, and they're just, you know, it's almost like they're on a conveyor just moving, and everything's running smooth as long as everybody's using their credit card, but then one person pulls out their wallet to pay with cash and alarms go off and it disrupts everything, you know, because you don't have a credit card like everybody else. And so the point of the commercial is you're messing everything up unless you use a credit card, okay? That's a credit card company, you know, trying to get you to do this, but it's showing the crowd all moving in this one direction and how you messed everything up. And that's what society wants you to think, and that's what Satan wants you to think, is that when you're not going with the crowd, you're going to mess things up, okay? And so we'll get into that a little more. Matthew 21, verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, and a foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. What was taking place there? The crowds were shouting. There was a stir. There was an excitement. Jesus has come to town. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were stirred up. They were happy. They were excited. This account in John 12, 17 and 18, it says, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. The crowds came. They heard of the miracles. Maybe they needed a miracle themselves. Maybe they wanted to see what was going on, what was taking place. And they were all excited. They were all excited to see what was taking place. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You know, when I think about crowds, what are most crowds doing? They're there for themselves, right? They're there to see what can I get. The crowds were coming and Jesus said, you just had something to eat, so you're coming because you want more food. Verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Then they asked Him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. So they asked Him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Is that not the crowds? What will you do? Show us something. Do something. Help me out here. What are you going to do? Now, many of you, when you come to church, what are you coming for? Well, Pete, what message are you going to preach? What are you going to do? You know, many of us, when I read a devotional, well, what's this devotional going to say to me? I'm doing it because I want something out of it, right? I want it to minister to me. I want it to speak to me. But many times our motives are not pure and right. Many times it's how can you help me? What are you going to do for me? And we do that with friends. We do that with family. We do that with neighbors. My brother used to tease me and he's like, every time I hear from you, you want me to help you fix something. You want me to help you build something. You want me to help you work on something. And he was right. Shame on me. But I needed help. So I called my brother. Right? How many of us, though, are that way with the Lord? We go with the crowd. What will you do for me? What do you have for me? Verse 31, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. A real life truth, y'all. The crowd is in it for themselves. What can I have? What can you do for me? And the crowd can very quickly lead you astray. The crowd, as Jesus was entering, what was they doing? They were shouting for joy. They were giving praise. The crowd here, this account, is hungry, so they're wanting something to eat, and they're, what can you do for me? And Jesus is saying to them, I've done all these things and you see me and yet you still don't believe. Why? Because the crowd wants more. They want more. What else can you do for me? How are you going to show me a miracle? How are you going to do this? How are we going to grab hold of this? Back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? You know, it doesn't specify all that Barabbas had done, but I want you to think about maybe the worst criminal you can think of. And then maybe think Billy Graham. I don't know. And let's just say that the crowd all at once said, hey, release Ted Bundy instead of Billy Graham. Now, how stupid would that be? You'd say, that's ignorant. That's crazy. Why would you even consider something like that? That's the measure of stupidity that we're dealing with right here. A notorious criminal in Jesus. And they're saying, which one do you want released? Verse 18, for he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. He knew they were jealous of Jesus. He knew that the Pharisees were ate up with envy because he was getting all the attention. They were losing it. Verse 19, while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with the innocent, with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. He got the crowd all stirred up. You know, have you ever went along with the crowd, and even though maybe in your heart you knew it was wrong, but everybody else was doing it, maybe in your heart you thought, I really shouldn't be doing this, but because the crowd was, maybe even a group of friends was, you went ahead and did it. You know, throughout my life, there's been times in my life that I stood strong, that I didn't go, that I didn't do what everybody else was doing. And then there was other times that I gave in and I did it, not really because I wanted to, but because everybody else was. Verse 21, which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. I don't know about y'all's Bible, but my Bible has an exclamation point there. They were shouting. These same people that were shouting, Hosanna, and they were stirred with excitement. Show us your miracles that Jesus is coming. Are now shouting, crucify, crucify, crucify. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they all shouted all the louder, crucify him! When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The crowd that went from praise to and shouts of joy to crucify. You know, we all want to belong, right? We all want to have friends. We all there's very few people, I think, and there may be a few, but so saying we all, but there's very few people that are okay with not belonging. We all want to have friends. We all want to have family. We all want to be part of the group, right? We want to be part of the maybe the cool crowd or the whatever you're into, the artsy crowd. I don't know, but we all want to belong. But at what cost? And is what we're belonging to taking us in the right direction or the wrong direction? You know, many cults, and I watched a thing on cults in probably about a year ago. Many of the cults actually began as something good. A lot of them even with biblical basis that they began. But somewhere along the way, usually the leader, the power went to his head and he became evil and he began to lead people astray. And then all at once, they were interviewing these people, and many of them said, I knew it was wrong, but I just didn't know how to get out. Or everybody else was doing it, so I just went along with them, and I just did it. You know, it's so scary how quickly we can be led astray. How quickly things can get out of hand. How quickly the crowd can take us the wrong direction. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's crazy. To think about a narrow road and only few finding, but that's the road that we should be on. Jesus rides in with praise, with honor. People throwing palm branches on the ground, their cloaks on the ground, and offering up praise and shouts of glory. To a few short days. Crucify! 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 What road are you going down this morning? Are you up on the latest trends? Are you in with the in crowd? Are you on your own path with Jesus, going through the narrow gate? So I was reading this and I just felt like I should share it. I'm not going to comment too much on it. But there's estimated 7.7 billion people in the world today. 7.7 billion. Okay? And according to Fact Tank, 2.3 billion are Christians. So that's 31.2% of the world's population claims to be Christians. So 31%, that's not a very big percent. So that's probably a narrower road, right? 31%. But in studying this, Christians is the largest world population, according to this Fact Tank. I don't know, you guys might find different facts and everything. But it's followed secondly by Muslims, who's 24.1%. So in the world's population, 31% is the largest religious group claiming of the world, and then it goes down from there to Hindus and Buddhists and all that. But we just read, narrow is the road and only a few find it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm hoping that I'm causing y'all to think a little bit, and I'm not gonna feed you this morning everything, okay? Just think about that, 31%. And then I want you to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Okay? If you've been asleep, wake up. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Even though they were in the in crowd, right? It just said that they were all together there. You sitting in this building this morning does not mean that you're on the narrow path. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to burst your bubble, but I'm trying to make you think of what path are you on. Just sitting here in church on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights does not put you on the narrow path. Sunday school would have went perfect with this if you was all in Sunday school. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. That's what Tim was talking about. Examine yourself. And here it says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Verse 6, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. I'm not trying to pounce on you this morning and to tell you there's no hope, but these were written as examples to say, where's your heart at? Is it set on evil things? Because that's what happened with them. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. The crowd will lead you astray. Doing what everybody else does is going to lead you astray.
Have any of y'all ever been to a rock concert or concert where it's just crazy to me? You even a Razorback game, okay? Maybe you hadn't been to a rock concert, but a rock concert, you know, a lot of times the singer up there will start doing something like this. And what's the crowd do? They all do it, right? You know, or they'll say, jump, jump, and then everybody's jumping, you know? Razorback game, what do they do? Let's call the hogs. Woo, pig suey. I can't help it, y'all. I don't do it. It bugs me. It bugs me to call the hogs. Maybe you can, that's fine. I feel like an idiot. I'm not, woo, pig suey. I'll cheer, I'll clap, but I'm not calling the hogs. And we went to a basketball game in the fall, and it's like, you know, everybody stayed up, let's call the hogs, and you know, woo, pig suey. And I feel like an idiot doing it. But the crowd's doing it. So you know what? Sometimes, because everybody around me is doing it, I'll give a little, you know, just because everybody else is doing it. I don't want to be the only one not doing it, right? I think y'all know what I'm talking about. We're influenced for such stupid things sometimes. Jump, jump, raise your hands. Woo, pig suey. How easily that can happen. How easily the crowd can influence us. These people were all together. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. This Bible is so beautiful. And it's written for me and you today to give us warnings. To warn us how to live and how not to live. How to walk the narrow path and not go with the crowd, not go with everyone else. These people were killed. They were destroyed. And you might say, well, the sexual immorality, the pagan revelry, of course I'm not doing that, but it even says the ones that grumbled. The ones that grumbled were taken. Y'all, what road are you on? Are you going with the crowd? Is the crowd leading you? Luke 6:26 says, woe to you. I love this verse, okay? Luke 6:26. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Now, wouldn't it be nice if everyone was speaking well of you?
But this is saying, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. They were speaking well of the false prophets, so woe to you if everyone's speaking well of you. It kind of hurts my feelings if someone's not talking nice about me, if someone's talking bad about me. But you know what? According to the Word of God, it should be okay if I'm standing for righteousness, if I'm standing for the kingdom of God. It should be okay that if everybody may not like me. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, my kids growing up, they had pretty good friends. But I always warned them, if someone's doing something stupid and you're with them, you're going down just like they are. If you're with a buddy and he's got drugs and you get pulled over, you're in trouble just like they are. So don't even be with those people. Don't even hang out with them. Guilty by association. Y'all, the thing is who are we hanging out with and how are they leading us? Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. If you're walking with wise, godly people, you're going to get more wise. But if you're with fools, you'll suffer harm. What crowd are you going with? What group is leading you? I want to end back in Numbers 13. And there's so many examples in the Bible. I mean, I could probably preach two or three weeks on just different examples of the crowd and where the crowd leads you. Numbers 13:26, it says, they came back to Moses and Aaron in the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Parah. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negeb, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. You know, we relate that to today, and I think sometimes when you're trying to give your life to Jesus Christ and you're trying to sell out and you relate it to like, well, but I won't be able to do this and this person and that person, and we come up with every excuse in the book why we can't sell out completely to Jesus and just obey. And here they were saying, these people are big. There's people everywhere. Verse 30, though, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Here's one. We can do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak. From the Nephilim, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. They said, we can't. We can't. You know, there's been many, many people come in these doors here. They may have come up to an altar and asked for forgiveness of sins. They may have just did it where they sat at. They may have done it at home and come here. And they're coming and looking for something different. And they're looking to follow Jesus Christ. But you know what happens? They go back to work. And they're around all their friends that cuss and drink and party. They go back to their families, and maybe they don't have that good influence in their families. And maybe they're strong for a few weeks, maybe even a few months. But before long, they begin to drift back to the co-workers. They begin to drift back to the crowds. And they fall away. We just can't do it. We can't live for Jesus. We just, the world is too tough. Life is too tough. My friends make fun of me. My family has rejected me. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert, why is the Lord bringing us to the land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And that's the people that I'm talking about. Life is hard. Sometimes living for Jesus is hard. And you're going to get rejected. You're going to get made fun of. You're going to get left out. Life is hard. But do we quit and do we go back? That's what they were saying. Let's go back to slavery. Let's go back to bondage. And when you reject Jesus just because life gets hard and you go back, that's what you're going back to. You're going back to a life of bondage and sin. We should just go back. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." There was a few, the road is narrow, there's a few here saying, "We can! We can!" But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. And the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meetings to the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them?" Maybe this morning, God's given you chance after chance after chance, and you keep going back to the crowd. You keep going back to what's cool according to the world standards. You keep going back to the partying and the gossiping and the complaining. You guys, some of the hardest struggles I have is at work when everybody's griping, when everybody's complaining. And you just want to join in because you got your gripes, you got your complaints, you got your grumbles. You're joining in with the wrong crowd there. Because we're to be different. We're to stand out. Maybe this morning, I'm not talking about to you personally. Well, I'm not going to go back to drinking and getting drunk. Maybe it's to you this morning. You're the grumbler. You're the complainer. Y'all, where is the crowd taking you? The Lord said, "How long am I going to put up with them?" Jump down to 14, verse 20. And the Lord replied, "I have forgiven them as you have asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will see it." Time after time after time, God had proved Himself. But the crowd went with the naysayers. The crowd went with those with fear. Fear is a powerful tool, and that's what Satan uses oftentimes in our life. But we're ending right here, verse 24. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Caleb! He followed me wholeheartedly. He believed. Narrow is the path. This morning, what path are you on? What path are you on? It's okay to be different. And I don't mean being different to just be difficult. I mean being different because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you're not going to join in with the garbage of the world. You're not going to act like everybody else at work. You're not going to act like everyone else at school. You're not going to act like everybody else at the family reunions. You're not going to act like everybody else because you are different. Because you follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Narrow is the path. Narrow. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. My hope and my prayer is that someday soon, when we're all in heaven, that I'm going to see all of you there because you chose to follow the narrow path. Let's not be like those in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 where it was written as an example of how they displeased God, how they wouldn't follow, how God was not pleased with most of them. But let's be the few that follow Him wholeheartedly, no matter what the crowd's doing, no matter what anybody else is doing. God, I'm going to follow You. I'm not going to be shouting crucify like the crowd. I'm going to be serving You, Father, wholeheartedly. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I have Your way. Lord, forgive me, forgive us for the times that we've given into the crowd. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we've done things, said things, followed ways that we shouldn't have followed, Lord, just because we're trying to please everyone around us, just because we're trying to make friends, Lord, just because we're trying to fit in. Lord, may You give us strength, may You give us wisdom, Lord, to follow You wholeheartedly. To not worry about what everyone else is doing, Lord, but to serve You and love You and follow You. May You give strength to each and every one of us. May we not be deceived by the enemy, but may we know Your voice and only Your voice, and may we follow it. Lord, impart Your power now. May we all have the Spirit like Caleb. Lord, to silence the naysayers. To know that we can have victory. That we can walk in Your power, in Your might, in Your strength. Lord, may we all be on the narrow path this morning. Seeking You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Altars are open.
All to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely
my little nephew, I don't know how long ago it was. It's been several months. He kept doing this little dance thing. I thought, what is he doing? I didn't know what he's doing. And it's some Fortnite dance. Flossing? Is that what it's called? Flossing, you know? And I got to realizing there's all kinds of people doing that dance. Where's this dance even come from? I don't get it. It's from that video game, and you know that all these kids are being influenced to do this. How quickly our kids are influenced by the things that they're watching on television, the video games they're playing, their friends. But can I tell you something? You, as parents, still have the biggest influence on your kids' life. And how awesome would it be for them to see Mom and Dad praying? Them to see Mom and Dad opening up their Bible and studying. You guys think that that won't influence them? You're crazy. It will. It'll impact them. There's a guy that I worked with at UPS, and he was my supervisor. And he was partying hard, doing heavy drugs. And he was raised in church, and I got saved. And God transformed me. And I began to talk to this man. And I'm not sure, but I think the Lord doing a work in my life had an impact on him, because it wasn't 3 to 6 months after I got saved and began to talk to this guy about the Lord, and he got saved. And y'all, he got saved like on fire, quit his job, went into ministry full time, and still serving, traveling across the country saved, like, and still serving the Lord today. Like, it is amazing what God did in his life. But I've watched and I've seen how God began to just take us few and influence those around us. You know, you might think at work that you not laughing at the dirty jokes, you not gossiping, you not participating, that you're being isolated and you're the one being left out. But I'm telling you something, it's influencing people. When they see that you can take a stand and that you cannot be like everyone else, it'll give them courage. There's been people in my life when I was struggling, and I watched them, and I went, they can do it, I can do it. People's watching you, and they're looking for something real, and they're looking for something genuine. Are you going to walk the narrow path? Are you going to be different? Show God's love to a lost and dying world around you. Living it out. We can do it. Each and every one of us can do it. Following the Lord wholeheartedly, just as Caleb did. Believing, God, I can, and I can have victory through you. Let's live this week differently. On fire for God. Not being ugly and rude, not hitting anybody over the head with our Bibles, but following the Holy Spirit's guidance and showing love, but not participating in those things that we know are not of God. Bible study tonight at 6:30. I believe we're going to be in 1 Peter. I think we made it halfway through chapter 1. I think I had to look this afternoon. 6:30 tonight. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.